Would you pray with me as we begin our worship service? Holy God, we are so thankful for who you are. We are thankful that we can come with our whole selves here to you this morning, knowing that, Lord, we don't need to be afraid, God, because you come in mercy, you come knowing us, you come in love, and we are so thankful, Lord, that we can come before you in this time and worship you because you are God, Lord, and we are thankful for who you are, and we praise you together. So thank you for your presence in this time. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Great to be with you today. We're going to be hearing a story today about the great prophet Elijah from 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 11. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Thanks be to God for this good news from his holy word." Amen.
Amen.
So you may not know, each morning at about 7:15, Debbie, our music director, and I, we are in this sanctuary before anybody else is here, and we pray for our worship services. We pray for you. We pray for each other. And right as I, this morning, was about to launch into my prayers, all the important words I had to say to God in the morning, I was kind of stopped right in my tracks because right outside this window, there was the beautiful singing of a bird. I mean, it was right there. It was loud. And it was not just a chirp or something. It was like this very intricate, beautiful, repeating song. And at 7:15 on a Sunday morning, things are quiet. I mean, it's so nice to be anywhere at that time because everyone else is at home. People are asleep. The traffic was low. All you could hear with this bird was this bird. And it began to feel foolish for me to say whatever words I had while this bird was singing such a spectacular song. And it made me think of just how that bird is probably there a lot, and I haven't even noticed it before. And so what I did is something a little different than what I usually do. Usually after that prayer time, I run home and I say good morning to my children and have a bowl of cereal and then come back here. And instead of just rushing out to my car, I quietly went outside because the bird was still singing this front door. I wanted to see the bird. And so I went outside and I tiptoed and I found where my ears were leading me to this bird. And it was just this plain brown bird. I'm not a birder, but I think it was a finch. Is my guess, because I went on my phone and I started searching for bird calls. I started looking at pictures of birds, and I could be wrong. I have a friend here in Glen who's certain that it was a wren and not a finch, but it was, in any case, I don't know what I'm doing. This is a new voice to me. And here's what was weird. As soon as I started paying attention to this wren or finch or whatever it was, I got into my car and I could hear birds while I was driving to my house. And then I got out of the car to go into my house, and there were birds everywhere. It's like, where did all these birds come from? And then I came back on my way back, and I was like, there are. I saw birds flying. I got back out of the car. I could hear that bird. And this, as soon as I got out of the car, there was a grackle up there, and then there's a dove over here. And I'm just like, there are birds everywhere. Guess what? I think they're always there. I mean, it is spring, and there are a few more birds traveling through. But there are a lot of birds all over the place all the time. Did you know that? It's quite possible that even that 7:15 Sunday morning bird that was singing such a beautiful song has sung that song many times, and I've never listened. It could be I've heard it, but I didn't listen to it. And when I started listening to that bird, it changed everything else I heard. Today we're talking about listening to the voice of God. And right now in our church, right now in any of your lives, I don't know everything that's going on in your lives, it is an important time to listen to the voice of God. And it's kind of like these birds. God is singing a song, a beautiful sound over us. And just like I began to notice what was already there, our invitation is not to suddenly create birds out of nowhere, but to recognize the voice that is already singing. Are you with me?
Amen.
God is already singing a song. God already has a voice and is speaking. The challenge is training our ears to listen and not just to hear. The challenge is changing the way we approach things, walking out the door a little more quietly, looking around in the skies, following our ears. And so as we talk about discerning the will of God, last week I talked about how practical sometimes that is, that we have to test and approve the will of God in our lives by putting our faith into action. One of the ways we get to know God's will is by taking our plans and ideas and trying them out in real life and then testing and approving whether or not God is in them. So trial and error is sometimes how we learn how God is moving. Another way I talked last week is how God has given us each other, that we are not called to be these siloed individuals who all hear God's voice on our own, but rather, could it be that there's wisdom sitting next to you in a stranger? Could it be that there are people of faith who might know more about how to follow God than you do, or have a different angle? And that we can learn the voice of God through community? But today, we're talking about just how intimate and how personal the voice of God is and can be for every single one of us. We're going to do that a little more by looking at the story of Elijah. We were just introduced to Elijah about a chapter earlier in 18 and 17 of 1 Kings. And Elijah's a prophet. He's one of the greatest prophets in Israel's history. And he comes on the scene for Israel when Israel is in the midst of turning their back on God. So Israel, of course, you know, is God's people. And Israel here in this time has turned to worship Baal, a foreign god, and Asherah. And so there are all these prophets. You've got King Ahab, who's a horrible king, leading the people astray. And you've got Jezebel, who's trying to also lead the people astray. And then you've got somebody like Elijah, who feels all alone, that the prophets of the Lord are actually being killed. So there's a death sentence against them in their own nation. I mean, the people of God are being killed for being the people of God. And so people are all being commanded to worship these foreign gods. Elijah has this call on him to go make a scene. And so he goes to Ahab and he goes, I want to have a contest with the other prophets. It's just going to be me. I want you to gather the hundreds of prophets of Baal and Asherah, and let's go to Mount Carmel, and I'm going to show them who the true God is. And so they get them all together, and the prophets of Baal and Asherah, Elijah says, I want you to build an altar, cut the wood yourself, set it up however you'd like it to be set up, and then I want you to call on the God of Baal and Asherah and call on them to start the fire. And so those prophets start dancing around and, come down, Baal, light the fire that we have set. Prove that you're the God. There's no fire. They start cutting on themselves. That's something that they do to try to call and conjure the God. There's no fire. And Elijah, I'm going to use my own words here, but he's pretty much like, where's your God? Do you have a lunch appointment somewhere else? Is he too busy doing other things? Huh? Where's Baal? I don't see a fire. And then Elijah does this pretty cool thing. He goes, all right, y'all done? Now I want you to soak it all and water. Pour water all over the whole thing three times until there's just water everywhere. And they get it completely soaked. And of course, you can see the drama unfolding. Elijah goes, I now call on the God of Israel. I should mention there are thousands of Israelites gathered to watch this whole scene take place. And lo and behold, the wet wood catches a flame because of the Spirit of the living God. And the people of Israel start to worship the Lord. They go, He is the Lord. Well, Ahab and Jezebel were not happy about this, and they call out the death sentence for Elijah. Even though that seemed like a pretty good day for Elijah, it turned sour quick. And he fears for his life, and he heads for the hills. And he runs away with his servant down to the very far side of Judah, the entire opposite side of the kingdom. And he then leaves his servant behind. He goes a day's journey into the wilderness. He's so afraid he's about to be killed. He crawls under a bush and he lays there and he says, Lord, just let me die. I'm done. I'm no better than my ancestors. They're coming to kill me, so just let me die. And then God sends messengers, angels, to come and feed him. And he uses the food that God gives him. And he travels 40 days further south to a very important mountain called Mount Sinai. That same mountain that Moses received the Ten Commandments from. And he crawls into a cave upon the mountain. And he goes to sleep. And the next morning, God's voice comes after this long journey and says, what are you doing here? Elijah, I love that. What are you doing here? And then God says, I'm going to pass by. I want you to be ready. And that's where we have our story today. There's the wind. There's the earthquake. There's the fire. God isn't in those things. And then you might have heard it in the King James. There's a still small voice or a quiet whisper. Or some translations say the sound of sheer silence. And Elijah realizes this God, he covers his face, and he goes where the Lord is passing by. And there, again, God says, what are you doing here? And God speaks to Elijah his instructions. He gives him guidance. And Elijah encounters the voice of God. So I want to look at a little more into this story, and I want to think about how is it that you and I, and that together, we might hear God's voice? And the first thing that I want to make sure you hear is that God's voice is meant to come to all of us. You don't have to be some kind of like special mystic or ordained clergy. You don't need to be some kind of, somebody who has a crazy imagination and a little wild to be somebody who hears the voice of God. It is not reserved for a select few. We were actually created in the beginning to recognize God's voice. And it's not an accident that children hear from God better than adults do. Did you know that? Because we were all created to hear God's voice. It's like the birds I was talking about. God is speaking, and we have the ears inside somewhere to hear. But somewhere along the way, we have prioritized other voices. Amen? And we are taught, and I talked about this last week, I mentioned it a lot, we are conditioned from childhood to value other voices beyond the will or the voice of God. And so we forget as adults what God sounds like. Just like I sit here in the morning and say all my words to God, I'm even talking to God and there's a song happening right outside that I don't recognize because I'm not attuned to it. So how might we begin to hear the word of God? There are a couple of lessons I would offer you from this story. The first one is we have to leave behind the noise. Do you want to hear God's voice? Do you want to hear God's voice? I'm asking the question. Do you want to hear God's voice? You got to leave the noise behind. Do we live in a noisy society?
Yes.
Have we mastered the art of noise? Are there lots of different types of noises? Are there lots of noises that... Do you have enough choices about the kind of noise you'd like?
Yes.
Which station do you like? Which movies do you like? What kind of music do you like? What kind of radio do you like? What kind of people do you want to hear talking? I mean, I find myself sometimes moving from noise to noise. And I enter a different environment, go, well, I can't listen to that noise, so now I'm going to listen to this noise, and I move on. And we can just be completely surrounded by external noises, right? And part of why we do that is because there's another noise that we'd rather not hear, and that's the internal noise. Hello? So there's not only noises from the outside. Am I the only one that's got some noises on the inside? I've got an internal monologue that has not learned to keep it shut. I mean, I can't get myself to shut up. And so even if we escape and leave the external noise, what happened to Elijah is he entered into the wilderness and he didn't have anybody else talking to him. He left his servant behind. It was just him. And yet there was still a clanking inside of him, right? And aching, and he was still just swirling in his own thoughts and in the noises of his own mind. And it took him 40 days and 40 nights on a long walk to get to the point where he was ready to hear the voice of God. It's hard to be quiet. And so there's two different kinds of leaving noise behind that we have to practice. The first one is easier. It's leaving external noise behind, actually entering into physical silence. But then the harder one that I'm guessing many of you have never entered into, or some of you maybe dabble for a few minutes or seconds, is we need to become people who learn to be silent on the inside too, which is very hard. I've begun a practice a few months ago that I had dabbled in for years, but this is the first time I've actually done it consistently. And it's simply based on the premise that the only way to pray is not by talking, that there are actually other ways to pray, like listening. that you can pray and not say anything. Because it might be that in the silence, God is there. Like that beautiful bird song, if I would just be quiet, that if I wait and listen and seek, that I might hear the song of God's voice speaking to me. And so I do that each morning, and I start with the external sound. I get up at like 5:30 before the kids are up, before anybody else is up at the house. The neighborhood is still quiet. And so external noises are gone. And then as soon as I sit down, what happens is I begin to be quiet as my internal noises just already going first thing in the morning. This is what you got to do today. This is what you did wrong yesterday. This is what you got to be afraid of today. You better get prepared for this later. This is going to happen. How are you going to do this right? Did you do that wrong? Don't you not like that person? Don't you really like that person? And, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. You're like, shh. And it takes time to get to a place. And here's what I'm trying to get at. That noise keeps us from hearing. And can I say something that I hope is obvious? Just because there are sounds in your head doesn't mean those sounds are God. Yeah. And that's part of the issue we have. People get thoughts going through their heads and attribute them to God. Just because there's a thought that passes from your mind, it could be a script that was given to you as a child that is from the devil. I mean, it could be something that says you're not a very good person, or you can't trust yourself or trust others or whatever. It could be you better be afraid. I mean, I've realized that the voices that I have, my own inner monologue, so many of the things I tell myself are lies. And so there's a little battle going on of trying to listen, what is really God here? And again, I think Elijah was going through that as he walked in the wilderness on those days and nights. He was hungry for the real voice of God. And he, as a prophet, this is what prophets better be good at, knowing what's his voice and what's God's voice, right? And so what he did is he kept walking. He goes, nope, I still haven't heard God's voice. I just hear myself. I hear my fear. I hear Ahab. I hear Jezebel. I hear all of these things, but where's God? Where's God? And he finally gets to Mount Sinai. There's another little point I want to bring up that is the most recognizable part of the story, those different sounds that come. I want to point out that fire, particularly, but the earthquake and the wind can be wrapped up in this. Fire is a way that God had been speaking. Right? Fire was how God spoke on Mount Carmel. when he put up the altar, and boom, here's God through the fire, right? Do you remember what else happened on Mount Sinai with Moses? There was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of what?
Fire.
And there was a burning, smoking fire on top of the mountain. And that's where Moses went. And God literally spoke through the fire and gave the law to Israel. And perhaps that's exactly what Elijah expected when he went on the same mountain into the same cave. Amen. And what I want to tell you is God is not formulaic. God sometimes speaks in ways that are unexpected. Amen? So don't ever, I just want to warn you, there's somebody who needs to hear this today. Just because you think God's going to speak one way doesn't mean God can't speak another way. Thank goodness Elijah didn't say, well, God's got to be in the fire, because I mean, that's how he works here. On this mountain, he speaks by fire. Last week, he spoke by fire. And instead, he realized, no, God's not in the fire. God's not in the earthquake. God's not in the wind. God was in the sound of sheer silence. But if there's anything you get today, I want to make sure you know there was God speaking. God has a voice, and God wants to speak to you. God wants you to hear God's voice. You don't have to be somebody special or particularly spiritual or religious, but I will tell you, it takes a little bit of work. It takes leaving the silence behind, or it takes leaving the noise behind, entering into the silence. It takes getting past some of those voices of your inner monologue to listen more closely. It is not easy work to listen. Amen? It's not easy work to listen. And that's, but I will tell you, if there's any Christian work, it's to listen to God. If there's anything we're supposed to be doing as Christians, we need to listen. And I know at this church, we love to do things with our hands. Praise be to God, that is a gift, and we can listen through that sometimes. But I hope if there's something happens at this church that we learn to pray and listen better together. There's another thing that I just can't get away from in this story, and it's God's question to Elijah. Two times, God comes to Elijah with a question, and it's the same question both times, and I'll make sure I get it word for word. What are you doing here, Elijah? So can we just start by saying, does God know what Elijah's doing there? Is God omniscient? Does he know all things? I believe he does. I think God knows why Elijah's there. So then it makes you wonder, well, why does God ask? God's not asking to be informed, right? He's asking Elijah because Elijah needs to know why he's there. And this is what I'm going to suggest, that if we want to hear the voice of God, we need to come face to face with our own soul. We need to listen to ourselves. And that's not easy either. Because there are all kinds of swirling fears and desires and thoughts and emotions. And it's so hard to know, who am I really? What's really going on here? And so I'm going to ask you the same thing that God asked Elijah. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And can I suggest that's not an easy question to answer? You might go, well, it's Sunday morning. Duh. I'm a church goer. Hello. I like this church, or this person makes me come, or whatever. I don't. What? No, but really, why are you here? You see how it's a bigger question? Go beneath the surface, and that's why God has to ask Elijah twice after 40 days of searching. So that tells me that even for a prophet of the Lord, it's not an easy answer. And also, let me give this to you as grace. That's an ongoing question and an ongoing answer. So don't feel bad if you don't feel like you have the final answer. You're going to continue to be asked. And our loving God, it reminds me of Jesus in the Gospels when he meets someone. He goes, what do you want me to do for you? You know, Jesus asks more questions than he gives answers. Because we need to ask ourselves the question, why am I here? Why are you in Leander, this area? Why are you a part of this church? Why are you in the family you're in? Why are you in the workplace you're in? Why are you in the neighborhood you're in? Why are you here? And I have found that the closer I get to the answer to that question, the closer I get to the voice of God. Because God is where our deepest truth is. And I actually think this is a little touchy-feely, a little artsy or whatever, kind of mystical, but I truly believe that God is already within me through the power of my baptism and God's grace. Did you know that? That when you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the pastor, it wasn't maybe not be me, but somebody said, the Holy Spirit worked within you. Within you. And you may have forgotten that. You may have been a baby, you may have been a youth or a few years ago, but God at that time is working within you. And just like that little bird this morning, God is singing away. But just like most mornings, I miss it. We go on with our lives and we go, well, where's God? God is there. And I found that the closer I get to my own soul, my own aches, my own dreams, my own heart, the closer I get to why I'm really here, I get to that place and I find that I'm getting closer to God because God is waiting for me within myself to speak. So maybe I want you to leave with that image that there is a God that you can seek after in you. And it's not a God, it's the God. Okay? And again, some of you are going, hey, Ray, you lost me a few minutes ago. I just want to read the Bible and get the answers. And I would say to you, there's the Word of God and there's the voice of God. The devil can quote the Word of God. But only his sheep recognize his voice. We're called to listen. We're called to hear his voice. We're called to answer the question, what are you doing here? So let me ask you and invite you in closing, what are you going to do to listen better? In June of last year, I went on, and I've mentioned this already, but I went to Lepshimea Prayer Retreat Center. It's a silent retreat center. I was only there for 2 nights. And while I was there, you're not allowed to talk, but you have meals with other people. So there are like these nuns there. I'm not around nuns a lot. It was pretty cool. And I spent, you know, a couple hours with the nuns, but I didn't ever hear a word. And we just were with each other. And then probably the first day and a half I was there, I was just talking to me, myself, and I. And I got kind of old. But something happened as I began to just do my journey of going to my own Mount Sinai and saying, God, I want to hear your voice. And I finally reached a moment. There was a little cross in my room that I was staying in, not nearly that big. It was a little cross. And I sat in this little room and I got to the place where I kind of reached my my Elijah moment where, and I just, can I point out real quick? Can you tell that Elijah's least common denominator that he got to, it was about his soul. It wasn't even factually true that he said, I'm the only one left. There were actually other prophets, and the Israel was turning to God. But his soul was afraid, it was lonely, it was fearful, and he got to the base of it, he cried out to God in his honesty. And that's what I did when I was at Lepshimea. I got to a place where I was able to be honest with myself and honest with God. And in that place, after I'd been in silence for a couple of days, I heard God. And when God's voice is often spoken to me is, Ray, I love you. And I am with you. And really just recognizing God's voice isn't hearing some new words. It's realizing that those words are for you and that God is there. That's what it's like to hear God's voice. So what are you going to do? Maybe you do need to go on a silent retreat. I think that's okay for any Christian to do. You don't have to be a preacher. Maybe you need to go on a walk. Maybe you need to get up earlier in the morning. Some of you do this when you go hunting. or you play golf, or you knit, or garden, or crochet, or whatever it might be, where is your silence? Where will you hear from God? Because God is speaking. God is singing over you with a song. Let's learn to listen to the voice of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. As we go from this place, O God, may we not fear the silence. May we not fear the darkness or fear what is within us. May we go forth knowing that you are with us, speaking, singing, giving life, forgiving, renewing, saving. And may we share what we hear as you call us to, just as with Elijah. May we go and do as you call us to do, knowing that you love us and you are here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go in God's peace.